he shall serve, and in the seventh he shall go out free for nothing. Who buys a slave for 6 years in recent history and lets him go after 6 years? Nobody. If he came in by himself, he shall go out by himself. If he were married, then his wife shall go out with him. If his master gave him a wife, and she have borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be her master's, and he shall go out by himself. Why would God put a stipulation like that? Because if you really wanted to serve, you would serve your term and then leave with your family. You wouldn't be a freeloader. So you couldn't say, hey, I'll pay off my debts. The master marries you, gives you a wife, you have lots of children, eat and live off of him, and then you're gone as soon as you set up. You had to fulfill your contract. So this was a protection. That's all it was. And if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free, then his master shall bring him unto the judges. This is why men don't wear earrings. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. So you sign a contract, you have a righteous master, maybe like Eliezer, his relationship with Abraham. You want to stay with me? Whose choice was it for the slave to stay with the master forever? It was the slave's choice. He said, I got it good here. I love this family. I want to raise my family as part of this family. I'm going to stay. It was the slave's decision. Where did you hear about that before? Because people don't read the Old Testament. Now, even for women, there was protection. And if a man sell his daughter to be a maidservant, she shall not go out as the men servants do. Women would be protected even in the status of slavery or servant status. If she pleases not her master, who hath betrothed her to himself, then shall he let her be redeemed. To sell her unto a strange nation, he shall have no power, seeing he hath dealt deceitfully with her. And if he hath betrothed unto her his son, he shall deal with her after the manner of daughters. So you know what this means? I'm a rich guy. I got a lot of land. I see a female slave, someone with slave status. I talk to her father. She's a great woman of integrity, even though she's a slave. I want her to marry, say, my oldest son. As soon as they tie the knot, she no longer has slave status. She's to be treated like any other free daughter-in-law, with the same rights and privileges. Now, if I'm a rich master, and I buy a slave, and I marry her, and I want to be a wise guy and just sleep with her and send her out, shame on me. God says, shame on you. You're not going to reduce her status. And you're a dog, but she's going to be free, and you have no right to give it to someone else. And I'm telling you, in America, men give away and trade women in a worse way than was ever described in the Bible. They don't even marry them today. They trade them amongst friends. Talk to some of your pimps. They sleep with them, send them out on the corner, have them sleep with people, make the money, bring them back in the house. If he take him another wife, her food, her raiment, and her duty of marriage shall he not diminish. And if he do not these three unto her, then she shall go out free without money. Now, what does he say? Women have protection. If your husband's a bum, you could sue him. You would go to the elders, and they would make a decision. So because your husband was rich and you were poor, he couldn't do whatever he wanted. This isn't modern-day America, where rich men buy women. Look at your newspapers. It's happening. You don't have to be a slave owner. Just go on Tinder. You can fool around with 50, 60 people a month. Don't have to pay anything. It's free. If men strive, now I included this. This isn't part of the specifically the slave clause, but I heard idiots on an atheist show, a popular atheist show, young Christians called in for extra credit from their Christian school, and the atheists tore them apart. And the atheist said, even in the Bible, there's no protection for the unborn. There's no exact law. So you're claiming to believe in this God, he's an authority, but yet you stand up against abortion. Where's the law? Mm. Well, I'll read it to you. If men strive and hurt a woman with child, so that her fruit depart from her, and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him. And he shall pay as the judge determines. And if any mischief follow, then thou shalt give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. So what does this mean? Do you know the old tradition that used to be in America before we treated women like dirt? Right? If there was a pregnant woman and a fight broke out, guys ran away from the pregnant woman, or they stopped fighting. From this tradition, if you hit a woman who has a baby in the womb, the way that baby comes out, if it's injured in any way, the same thing's going to be done to you. So how can you say being against hurting the unborn is not in the Bible? Mm-hmm. It's right here. Now, if two men are fighting, they hit the woman by accident, a normal child is born, they're still going to have to pay the husband for hurting that woman. The most precious thing in God's world is a woman carrying a child. The Hebrews didn't do, early Christians didn't do what we do nowadays. Have all women working until the last day of the ninth month, treating her like one of the guys. She was protected. The most respected and honored woman in society was the mother. Anyone who disrespected a mother or hurt a mother deserved death. And we had this for a long, even when I was younger. We could be fighting and cursing when someone's mother walked by. Oh, shh. It's all gone. All gone. Mothers are looked at like a piece of meat. You could be walking down the street with five children and some lowlife is still looking at you like you might have an opportunity with you.
The kids are cursing at you.
Right. We don't knock them out anymore. Now we knock out wise guys, the cops come and arrest us. That's why it happens. You disrespect a mother, a grandmother, a woman with children, you're a savage. You don't belong to live in a civilized society.
What happens now, if the baby died?
If the baby died, the man would he would pay with his life in many ways.
Yeah, life for life.
Yeah. Now, action of life. For the moon.
Anyone who ever beat a slave at any time in Europe, they must have missed this verse. And if a man smite the eye of his servant or the eye of his maid, that it perish, he shall let him go free for his eye's sake. And if he smites out his manservant's tooth or his maidservant's tooth, he shall let them go free for his tooth's sake. So somebody, a slave master, who didn't treat his slaves like human beings, whatever the terms were, if he started beating them all and hurting them all, he'd have no slaves. You'd be bankrupt. That's what the law was. This is early. This isn't the ideal. But you have to remember, you keep thinking, don't think as Americans. Think back in ancient history. People were worth nothing. You know who the greatest slave empire of all time was? My people, the Romans. We enslaved everybody. In the transatlantic slave trade, by rough estimates, about how many people went to the New World? Between 10 and 12 million. 10 and 12 million slaves from Africa crossed the Atlantic and went to the New World. How many slaves were there during Roman times in the Mediterranean and all other white Europeans that Romans enslaved? 10 to 12 million. So even with a lower population, the percentage was higher. So the world without God runs on slavery. That's the way it works. Might makes right, unfortunately. But not in the word. There was protection for these people. You couldn't just put a slave to death. Now, we read some of the text. Before I have anybody leave, I just want to test some of you, some of the knowledge. Some of your knowledge. Give you an idea. I'm not talking out of air. I didn't. You want to know history as a minister. Okay, so here is, let's say this is Africa, right? We got the Atlantic, right? Europe would be somewhere up here. You come this way, and you got America, right? Please forgive my artwork, but you get the idea, right? That's the United States, right? The U.S. I'm going to ask you a question. Can you see the board? You see the board? Most slaves, when they came from Africa during the slave trade, most slaves went where?
To the Bahamas.
What nation? What did you say? Caribbean, right?
Yeah, Caribbean.
Almost. 48%. 48% of all slaves through all time went to Brazil.
Oh, yeah. After Brazil, they went there.
Okay, who knew that? Who was taught that?
I don't know.
History class, church, anywhere? Okay. 48%, check me out. That's why I love Google, YouTube. Check me out. Check my sources. Check what you want. 48% went to Brazil. 43%, roughly, went to the Caribbean. Okay? Less than 5% came to the United States. That's the history of slavery. People listen to Bob Marley, but they don't listen to what he's saying. Buffalo soldier, dragged like a rasta, fighting on arrival, right? Fighting for survival. Why? Because he went to the Caribbean. So these people suffered just as much as anybody in the slave trade. I'm not doing this to take the guilt off of anybody. I'm showing you the whole world is guilty. Now let's go back to Africa. So 48% were in Brazil. And by the way, Brazil had the most savage treatment of slaves in the history of the transatlantic slave trade. They would harvest the sugar cane. To get the cane, to produce the sugar, you had to put it through rollers. And if the hand got caught in the rollers, it was going into these huge rollers. The master was there with a hatchet to take to amputate the hand. So the whole slave wouldn't be lost. What was the average age a slave could survive to in Brazil? What was the age? 23 years old.
Wow.
How many people learned that in school?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, all the slaves. Yeah, what? Get specific. What? Tell them, teach me. I want to know. All people want to know. It's a horrible part of history. I want to know. Stop with the slogans. So 23 years old was the average age of a slave in Brazil. That's why Brazil has so many people of African descent. That was the main destination. Then the Caribbean, less than 5% came to the U.S. Now in Africa, your main slave traders for a time were the Portuguese. Why the Portuguese? Because they had close relations with Islam, and you had Muslims in Spain, in southern Spain. So the way it worked was, in Africa, through tribal warfare, and to make money, the African chiefs would bring their slaves to a slave station where the Muslims would take over near internal Africa and then bring them to the Portuguese and then later on other Europeans by the port, by water ports. Europeans at that time did not have the capability to go into internal Africa to get any slaves. So it was a whole chain of sin from Africans themselves that owned the people, that captured their own war booty and slaves, brought it to our Islamic friends who were still trading in slaves. Showed you that on CNN, right? And then they were brought to the Portuguese. Now, something happened in America. The Portuguese, as we know, were Catholic. Many of the early settlers in America were Protestant. Now, when the Portuguese would take a slave, as they would bring them to the U.S., the 5% that made it to the U.S., they would baptize them. Now, why was that a big deal? Because under English common law, when they got to the first settlements like Jamestown, under English law, someone baptized as a Christian could not be a slave. When did you learn that in school? I want to give you some facts. Are we learning anything new so far? Is this interesting?
Yeah.
You ever hear this? No, no one's going to say this. Just rile everybody up. Oh. Everybody's responsible. Everybody's dirty. The only one that's clean is God. It's all dirty.
Amen.
Me? And just so you know where I'm coming from, you take me as a slave, my rear end is in Liberia, which we'll talk about. That's the type of person I am. Without Christ, I'm not a forgiving person. I am not going to be around the people that own me. Just so you know. I'm not being soft on anybody. You own me, you own my family, you got a problem. To prevent me, I'm talking about me individually, to prevent me from committing evil, I'm God. Okay, so I went to Snopes.com. Snopes.com is anti-conservative, anti-Christian, anti-everything else. They check out sources when people bring up things.
That's not...
How do you spell it?
I thought that was a parody.
Snopes. S-N-O-P-E-S. They're like a fact checker, but they're very biased, but I use them anyway. I like to use people that don't like me, their sources, to prove my facts. Because if they're willing to admit that I'm right, and they don't like me, then I know I'm right.
Right.
Right? Okay. So 9 facts about slavery they don't want you to know. This is circulating on the internet, and Snopes checked it out. Number 1, the first legal slave owner in American history was a black tobacco farmer named Anthony Johnson. How many people knew that? The first registered slave owner to own a slave was black himself. Number 2, North Carolina's largest slaveholder in 1860 was a black plantation owner named William Ellison. Number 3, American Indians owned thousands of black slaves. I'm just reading facts. In 1830, there were 3,775 free black people who owned 12,740 black slaves themselves.
Wow.
I'm telling you, it's economic. It's not skin color. People sell out for money. Always remember that. Many black slaves were allowed to hold jobs, own businesses, and own real estate. Brutal black-on-black slavery was common in Africa for thousands of years. So these facts were going around. They were causing a stir. How did you say things like that? Oh, this is crazy. And then Snopes started checking it out. And they backed up a lot of it. Now, black historians who correctly are examining the slave trade and seeing the horrors were shocked themselves to find out the truth, that this is people betraying their own people. Just like in Rome, where did your slaves come from? They were lily white from Georgia in the Russian Caucasus area. They took our Armenian slaves. That's what they had. That's who we enslaved. We killed millions of Gauls, fellow Europeans. That's a gift of the human race. We're all wicked. This man, Anthony Johnson, actually sued and won his case. The first legal slave owner in America. Okay. He won a former indentured servant himself. Anthony Johnson was a, quote, I'm only using this word because this is an old word they use, free Negro, who owned a 250-acre farm in Virginia during the 1650s with 5 indentured servants under contract to him. One of them, a black man named John Kasor, claimed that his term of service had expired years earlier and Johnson was holding him illegally. In 1654, a civil court found that Johnson, in fact, owned Kasor's services for life. An outcome historian R. Halliburton Jr. calls, quote, one of the first known legal sanctions of slavery, other than as a punishment for crime. Because they were Protestant at the time, and they actually took some heed to the Bible, they were enforcing what I read to you in Exodus, where you could only serve for a certain amount of time. You went to the contract, and then you had to be let go. Okay? Now, So you know where I'm coming from, that I am not, I'm actually not defending all of this. I'm throwing guilt on everyone. A little African history, which is not taught. African history is not just Egypt. But they won't teach it to you. When was the Emancipation Proclamation?
17.
The Emancipation Proclamation. 1860. Yeah? All right, close.
1864.
Put 1860s, right? Put 1860s. I believe it's 65 to 68. Put 1860s. Right? Did any slaves have their freedom in America before that? Did they do anything significant? Did you ever learn in history class about a group of slaves that formed their own nation in Africa? How many people knew that? This is crazy. How did you not know? I have friends today that are from this country. I have friends today. They're walking in the neighborhood and they come from this country, they have family in this country. That's why when I die, I'll have relief. I'll have facts and nothing will be hidden. We can all talk and be civilized. So in 1822, so many blacks were free in the North and many with money in the South that they did what I told you I would have did. They got out of America. They went back to Africa. And they formed a country in West Africa called Liberia.
Yeah.
And this is why the climate in this country is disgusting. Because of the color of my skin, when I talk to certain people, their first assumption is I don't know anything. Or how can I know? And I tell them I'm a Christian and I care and I love people and I know everybody's history. And I do know. 1822, Liberia was founded. People of wealth from North America, the Caribbean, but mostly from the United States, freed slaves in the North and in the South, took their money. They said, this place is crazy. They went back, they formed Liberia, and they did pretty well. Now, they did so well, and I told you human nature. Now, what happened? Educated slaves with businesses and money from here, and educated freemen, went back to Africa, and guess what happened? A caste system, just like in America. So on top in Liberia, this is history, check me out. This started the Civil War. In Liberia, right, you had a caste system. So who was on top? African Americans that came over, that had the money, that had the knowledge, that had the language superiority to trade with Europe, they were the new class. This was the high class, African Americans. Now they just left slavery and they started recreating a caste system that they escaped from because that's human nature. Who was on the bottom? The Africans that were in the land that they started hiring. That's why I laughed. Oh, I went to CUNY. I got an education in African studies. No, you didn't. You got propaganda. You got nothing. 1822. There was a civil war in Liberia. Almost destroyed the country. What year was that? See, we got a lot of biased people. They study European history. Nobody wants to study African history. Why? I study it. It's my people. I know about Ethiopia. I know about Liberia. These people are just as valuable as people in Europe. 1980 is the Civil War. You know what the Civil War is about? This caste system. You people came here from America. You were oppressed yourselves. And now you have this power structure that we Native Africans can't get anywhere in this country. And the bullets started flying. And they both suffered horribly. When did the Civil War end? 2003. Liberia is just starting to rebuild itself. It was a horrible civil war for over 20 years. Let me ask you something, another question, then we'll get back to our Bible and history. If I went to Liberia now with a boatload of cash, could I buy real estate in Liberia? Could I? Does anybody know? You have to be black. I'm white. If you're white, you cannot own property in Liberia. It's a law. No white man owns any property in Liberia. You can rent the land, you can rent the business, you cannot own land. Now, it's not August yet, so I'm still white, right? So if I went to Liberia and I tried to buy a home or a business and they told me no because you're white, do you think I would accuse them of being racist? No, because I'm a Christian. Because I'm sensitive to the history. You know why they wouldn't let white people buy land in Liberia? Because they didn't want to be part of colonization all over again and having rich whites come in and buy the land up again. Can't we be sensitive without bringing out the knives right away? You see, you thought I was going to do a tit-for-tat thing. I'm not. I'm not stupid. I'm a Christian. I'm a sensitive man with a family. When a God was merciful, I understand why they wouldn't let me buy property there. And no, I wouldn't start a march with all Italians and why we can't buy land in Liberia. And I wouldn't go to CNN and I wouldn't light things on fire and start trouble. These people suffered. They settled the land. They're protecting themselves. No problem. I understand. I'll go where Italians have always been welcome. Ethiopia. Zimbabwe. I got people there. No problem. Now, when you teach people, as ugly as the facts are and as bad as they are, when you give people knowledge, it's like, ooh, it's like a breath of fresh air. Okay, I didn't know that. I'm starting to understand. It brings peace. That's why they don't teach you. Now, Brazil didn't end slavery till the 1880s. Brazil had to constantly bring new slaves to Brazil because the work and the treatment of the slaves was so brutal, it was like a genocide. That it keep producing slaves, that it keep bringing them there. Now, in America, how did America, with less than 5% slaves, have more slaves when slavery ended than Brazil? Because the treatment was not as severe as in Brazil. Am I defending slavery? I told you I'd be in Liberia. I'm not defending anything. I'm just telling you, let's get facts straight. People like to escape from things. The only one who's righteous is God. So Latin America has a guilt on their hands. The Caribbean has guilt on their hands. Everybody. Africa itself has guilt on their hands. Let's just understand history. It empowers us. Me, I would have went to Liberia. Knowing my personality. I would have took my shot there. Now, I'm going to show you the greatness and goodness of God. 1865 was, we're talking 150 years, right? 1965, another 15 years, 2015, right? Let me show you the providence of God. This is the God I have. This is what I notice. Now, you see this situation. 10 to 12 billion people in Brazil turned into chop meat. In the Caribbean, also treated horribly. The English were a little better than the Catholic countries, but still horrendous. What are you going to do? How dare somebody who calls themselves a Christian own another person for life? Disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. But look at what happened. And I believe it was around, when did we get Richie Rich as president? 2 years ago?
Yep.
All right, so 2016. President Obama was in office 2014, I think it was, right? Okay, this is what I see. This is what I see. Who is the most powerful person in the land? Who's the most powerful executive out of all 300 million people in the United States? What title does he have? We're just talking about the president. The president is the chief executive officer. Highest executive in the land. branch of government is this called? The executive branch. So he calls the shots, right? Who is the top attorney, the top lawyer with the most power in all of America? The Attorney General. The feds. Okay? So we have the top executive, we have the top lawyer. These are the three of the highest posts in the land, right? Third, who is the top law enforcement officer in the land since the department was created during the Baby Bush era? Homeland Security holds a lot of power, so much power that in an unconstitutional way they were threatening to monitor the last elections. So Homeland Security. Anybody notice I'm not going to notes? I love people, I study. I love to see God's providence in history. I don't spend all day doing nothing. I don't read Joel Osteen books. Okay, I learn facts. And I love this stuff. Now, you saw the horrible situation by the time the 1860s rolled around, right? Now look at it, God's providence. Look at what happened. By 2014, I hope I'm guessing the year right. I think I am. By 2014, who was our president?
Obama.
Barack Hussein Obama. Right? So we'll put Obama. Now, even as just a Christian, I have no political party. But this is, to go from this to this is miraculous. Amen. Would we agree or no?
Yep.
Am I lying?
Nope.
To go from being beaten in fields and whatnot to be the man calling the shots in only 150 years, no country has gone through this type of change. Okay, does anyone disagree with me? You can. Am I overstating that? Now, even more so, who was the Attorney General?
Holder.
Eric Holder. What does Eric Holder identify as? In the census, what would he put down? Italian?
Black.
Right. Now, if you could take somebody in a time machine from 1860 and transport them to 2014, the president is African American? The top lawyer, the man who handles all the federal cases and calls the shots is also African American? And then who is the Homeland Security officer? Who is the top cop in the land? Jay Johnson. ...2014. My president, the chief executive officer, the man in the land, identified as African American. The top lawyer in the land, the attorney general, identified as African American. And the top cop in the land of Homeland Security identified himself as an African American. 150 years later, after people were given 4 feet of space, less space than when you put somebody in a coffin when they die, they were brought over on ships with 4 feet of space to survive and live. And in God's providence, this is what happens 150 years later. How could anybody be a Muslim? Check me out, see if I'm lying. Now, I love using people that don't agree with me. The greatest sermon I've ever heard that told the truth on Muhammad was by Louis Farrakhan. And what Farrakhan had to admit, see, I listen to everybody. I'm not biased. They don't have to be Christian. I want the flow of what's going on. I want to know the debate when I talk to people. Minister Farrakhan, even though he would call me a Neanderthug and a white devil, does admit that sometimes in history, white men do actually care about other ethnic groups. And he admitted in a sermon, that is a man who was completely anti-white, black nationalist, the whole deal. I have no problem with the black nationalist part. just hating white people is not always a good thing. So, we'd still talk to him, have lunch with him. He's an interesting guy. But the point is this. He admitted that Muhammad was white. So you hear this lie that, oh, Islam, that, you know, that's the black man's religion. Christianity is the white man's religion. Jesus Christ was a Hebrew. That's less than 1% of the entire world population. That's so no one can play the DNA games. Mm-hmm. Nobody here sitting here is Hebrew. Nobody has a special point. God and Jesus Christ, the God of love and mercy and restoration, is the God of all. And he'll do things in history that you swore wouldn't happen. That's my God.
Amen.
Now, after I think I've shocked you a little bit, let me go back. Let's go back to our sermon outline and we'll finish up. But I wanted to do this before anybody left and didn't get the gist of what I was saying. So, as far as our doctrine, why do we need to know the Old Testament? Why do we read things like Exodus 21? In the Bible, the word for slave is many times synonymous with the word for servant. Slavery in the Bible was allowed to enable the economic survival of the slave. Although there were different types of master-servant relationships, all were governed by biblical law, which afforded protection to servants. Many of these protective laws for servants in the Old Testament were revolutionary at the time they were written. There was one moral law for both slave and master. It's not like the world today. If you're a billionaire, you get away with murder. No, it was one law for everybody. Covenant sanctioned slavery in the Old Testament was never based on skin color, and all slaves were protected regardless of race. This is the slavery that's in the Bible. All believers, whether master or slave, must always remember they are slaves of Jesus Christ. They must act accordingly with Christ's commands or pay the price. We still have these master-servant contracts. Anybody was a civil servant here? You worked for the city or you know. You're giving them 20 to 30 years of your life, and they agree to give you a pension in the end. If you don't fulfill your part of the contract, even if you're in your 18th year, they are going to dump you, you're going to be separated from the salary, and you get nothing. Mm-hmm. So contracts in society are basic. So you say, oh, well, you know, you're a civil servant, you can walk away from the job, but it's still that servant-master type of relationship because the city now, and whoever's in charge, the mayor, whoever the mayor is at the time, he's the man. In biblical terms, he would be the master. I'm going to give you 20 years, and I'm going to be your servant, servant of the city, civil servant, and you're going to give me what I deserve when I'm done. If I don't complete my part of the contract, you're not obligated to give me a pension. No one signs up for 20 years in civil service, walks away in with 11 years and says, give me a pension. That doesn't work. You have to fulfill your obligation. Even worse is the military. Can you join the military, sign up for 5 years, and just walk off base after a year?
No.
What's going to happen to you?
Yeah.
You're going to wind up in prison. That's a pretty serious covenant.
Mm-hmm.
So these contracts still go on, but these are the types of things the Bible was describing. So people don't know the Bible. They see one little sentence, they go, oh, look at that, slavery in the Bible. These are the types of contracts we still have today. And many of the contracts we have today are worse. This was for economic protection. A woman could make herself a servant so she wouldn't have to be a prostitute. So she wouldn't have to marry a lord. She could work for somebody who had means and serve a certain time and get herself on her feet and leave. This is unheard of in ancient times. Do you know the Greeks that everybody brags about in school? You want a little inside baseball that you'll never hear your professor talking about? You know the great Socrates spoke about how women were too low of an intelligence to fall in love with? They were just for producing babies and for feelings of lust, but to really fall in love, in the deepest type of love, a man had to fall in love with another man.
It's crazy that we learned this.
Check it out. You got your phone, you have permission.
What?
Google it right now.
What?
So you're given parts of history, but not the crazy parts. But the Bible is righteous, trust me. More than anything we have. In the New Testament, and this is what we're up to in Colossians, and this is why this was a topic for today. Please turn to Colossians now. Now you know why I had to go over this. And because I serve this church, I don't serve people out there, I serve you. And we have certain groups here that I love, that I want to communicate with and teach. I brought up certain things so you can understand. This wasn't going to be like a two-point sermon and I go home in 20 minutes. We had to develop this. Now why? Let's read in Colossians. The Bible come alive. Now, if you remember, this chapter is about how society is supposed to run. It's not perfect, but this is how we keep things in order so we don't all starve and break into civil wars and society doesn't break down. So Paul was speaking about relationships between a husband and a wife and children. Now we get to servants. Servants, obey in all things. This is verses 22 through 25. And we're going to go to the first verse in chapter 4. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Now, this is included with the last chapter. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Amen. Now, after reading these things, how can anyone who wants to call himself a Christian be abusive to any type of servant? Whether a lifelong servant that volunteered to be lifelong, whether it's a servant that you had for 6 years, released in the seventh year, do you know, even if I volunteer to be a lifelong servant, in the 50th year, me and my entire family would be free? Because of the Jubilee year? God is about freedom. You're always going to have an employer-employee relationship, a master-servant relationship. It's the way you do it. I work for you, but I'm still a person like you. So if you're a billionaire who owns hotels and you have a maid who's making, whatever, $10 an hour, if you rape her, in biblical law, you could be sentenced to death. In America today, you get an army of lawyers, you get away with it. You can rape anybody. Am I lying? Have you seen the newspapers the last year or two? You got enough money, there'll be people that'll cover it up for you. We have abandoned biblical law. You know what rules the world? Look in your pocket. Pull out the dollar. That's what rules the world. Look at the symbol on the dollar. That's what rules the world, the pyramid of power. If you're at the top, hey, life is great. You're the top 1%, it's great. For the rest of us peons, we're going to have trouble getting justice. So God commands masters to respect their servants. That was a tradition of a Christian nation. That's what it used to be like. Do you know the billionaire big shot used to live in the same town as you? He had the biggest house, but he lived in the same town. His kids went to the same schools. It's not like what we have now. So we have a God that gives exact instructions on how we're supposed to treat people. Please turn to Romans chapter 8. Slavery denotes being owned by another person who is often referred to as a master. Yeah. Now, why are masters supposed to respect their servants? Because, in truth, according to God's law, no man can belong to another man. All men belong to God.
Amen.
So it's an economic arrangement. It is not an arrangement of owning someone. They have to agree to work for you. Romans chapter 8. Verses 12 through 17, this is what we're told by Paul. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Right now, before the end of time, before God comes in all his glory, I am his slave. But I am also in the process of being his son. And when this heaven and earth are recreated, I will judge angels. So little old me, who, you know, you can run my pockets, don't have much economic power, don't have much influence in the world right now. I will judge prime ministers and presidents and leaders of empires that didn't believe in Christ. I'll be standing next to our Lord. If I die before he comes, I will come with him in clouds of glory with the angels. And I will stand with my Father. I will be the royal heir. Not you, who was royal in this life and used your power for evil. Now you are the slave and I am the son.
Amen.
What's so hard to understand about that? The Christian church has always been an agent of freedom for all men. For a person to be free, they must be Christ.